Hey, Sports Without Balls fans, it's Erin Foley, your host. I've showered. My hair looks relatively reasonable. I'm out of my pajamas. It is Friday. We're going to post this today, mere hours later. We are in week three of the NFL. I've got a fantastic guest, a repeat performer, resident Indianapolis Colts fan.
0-2.
Please welcome Jill Bennett back to the show.
0-2 Giants, 0-2 Colts.
Listen, we're not living the dream.
No, we're not. But I would have to argue that we've played better than the Giants have played.
I think my mom has played better than the Giants. And she's just reading.
Right.
In Florida. Retired.
It's been tough for the Giants.
Sports Without Balls fans, here's how the episode's going to break down. We are going to do, of course, football heavy because we're knee deep in the season of, it's already been an interesting season. Mm-hmm. It's only week two. We're going to talk some UFC.
Yes.
Jill and I are UFC fans. Jill's very knowledgeable about the UFC, and she's going to talk us through that. We've got a WNBA shout out. We've got, of course, about 10 games left of Derek Jeter before I just have a nervous breakdown next Sunday. A little golf shout out. Lee Na, tennis champ, one of my favorite, just retired.
Oh,
there's a lot to get through, people. Buckle up, grab some coffee, grab a whiskey if you're listening to this at night or in the morning.
Or at 5 p.m. anywhere.
All right, let's dig in. Colts Eagles Monday Night Football.
Oh God. Okay. So can I just say
you can do whatever you want.
We had to our first game back. We had to play the Broncos in Denver.
Already a tough season for the Colts
against Peyton Manning, who just lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I was like, we're not going to win this game. All right. I already had conceded the loss.
Yeah.
But we had a fantastic comeback in the second half.
If there was like 4 more minutes, I watched the whole game. You guys would have won.
Well, and there were 2 missed touchdowns.
Yeah.
So, okay. So Andrew Luck played well. Our team, besides
defense. We can talk about
defense,
the game. Let's talk about the game.
We can. I mean, you know, we did what we did last season, which is we didn't start playing until after halftime. This has been an issue. But then we staged this incredible comeback and make the game interesting again.
Yeah.
And then we just didn't convert on 2 touchdowns and we just didn't have enough time to seal it. But it was close. I mean, it was like,
you know, Broncos won the first half, Colts won the second half, you know, and just came up a little bit short. I was, you know, sort of torn in that game. Obviously, as a lifelong Manning family, champion of the Manning family, I'm always going to pull for Peyton. But because I liked, you know, Peyton on the Colts for so long, I have the soft spot for the Colts. Also, I am now a big-time Andrew Luck fan.
He's amazing.
And now you've got 2 of my Giants, Bradshaw and Nick. So
I know. And Bradshaw was fantastic. He's been doing...
How fun is that kid?
Oh, he's amazing. He's been coming up where Trent still isn't... He's getting better.
He's getting better.
He had some really good runs against the Eagles. And 2 fumbles, which my stepdad wrote, do you have those loans paid off yet? Like, I mean, you know, it's starting to, I don't think, those looked completely accidental. But then, yes, the Eagles game, which was heartbreaking, and also 2 really, really bad calls at the end of the game, which I think kind of decided the game.
Those calls were particularly awful.
Yeah. Toward the end of the game, there was a holding call that didn't happen, which resulted in an interception that was like honored, and there should have been a holding call, but there is no challenge for a non-call, which I think there should be.
Yeah.
I think coaches should get
one. I was going to say the game would be 7 hours.
One non-call for a penalty that should have happened.
Wait, so are you talking about the third down where Luck did the pick?
Yes. Because our guy was held and the Eagle ran in front and caught the ball.
Well,
and
he fell.
No, he was held first.
He was held first and then he fell.
And then he fell. And that should have been a holding call. Like everyone agreed on the replay that they should have been called for holding.
Yeah.
Which would have reversed the interception. And then on the next play, we got a horse collar call, which was bullshit because
that was a 15 yarder.
Yeah.
Right,
and that was
field.
So right there. And then put them in. I mean, yes, we made mistakes, but like there's usually one in every game after the fact, they say, you're right, we should have called that penalty. And we didn't. And you can't challenge that. You can't challenge a non-call. So I think there should be, or maybe of two of the challenges, one of them should be able to be a call for a penalty that, that didn't happen.
It gets tricky because then you could be like, well, you know, the ramifications of that. You know what I mean? Like, the ramifications of that were huge. So it's like, did he hold? But if he didn't hold, because he could he have
but
caught
if
the
on
ball?
A replay,
then
but if we're using a replay for all of the for looking to see if people made a touchdown or if your foot was out of bounds, why can't we use a replay to say that's unfair? That should have been called. That penalty should have been called.
Yeah,
just one time a game. I'm not saying that it should be every time, but that, you know, there are major games that are decided because penalty, you know, an obvious penalty wasn't called, that in the replay, everyone sees it, but whoops, we didn't call it. So, oh, well,
yeah.
And it's like, well, if we're going to use technology and take out human error in other places, why don't we take it out in every place? I don't know. I just think what, you know, one call can literally change an entire game.
No, it's true. It's true. I never thought about it before. I like that. I like the one non-call.
One non-call challenge.
And I want to get back to that particular play because I wrote that down. Well, all right. Let's talk about this real quick with the non-calls and the calls. One of my favorite things is when, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say favorite. Annoying. So effing annoying where I'm like, stop, please stop talking. Is when they bring Michael, what's his name, Pereira? The NFL rules dude
trying
to like kill time. It's a little bit better this year because they've figured out to like call the booth ahead and kind of cut down on like the, or they'll cut to come. I don't know what they do. It's a little bit more like streamlined now, but it's like as an NFL fan, like we've been watching it for like, you know, God knows 30 some odd years now. I'm 86 and, they'll go, you know, they'll be challenging a call. Like was his foot in bounds.
Right.
And then they'll bring this guy on. I think it's like Pereira or Ferrer or whatever. I'll figure it out. Carol. Carol's on it, you guys. Carol is alert. She
Carol's
actually
been very quiet today.
I'm not gonna lie, Carol's been a little quiet today. But all right, we'll talk about Carol later. There's stuff going on that no one needs to know. She just broke up with her boyfriend. It was really sad.
Oh,
she's
God.
So gay.
She doesn't know yet.
Oh my God, she just screamed out, I'm not gay. Yeah. Whatever. Okay, here's the thing. He comes on and then he'll talk for like 5 minutes on, is his foot in bounds?
Right.
And we're like, I could do that job. Like,
yeah, I could see in the replay on the, you know, they stopped it and you can see his foot is out of bounds, but he will break it down.
Yeah. And also it's like, you know, after you've been, and some of it's a little bit more tactical, but like after you've been a fan for so long, like you and I could, they could be like, okay, cut to Jill Bennett. And you could be like,
he's out.
Yeah. He didn't have control of the ball.
Yeah.
He didn't have 2 feet down.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so, it just makes me laugh every time. Cause I'm like, no, we know all this.
Yes. But they're filling time.
They're filling
while
time.
While they're looking at the tape that they could be watching on a non-call for a penalty. Which is, you know.
Yeah. That's, I like, I'm going to go with you. I like the non-call. Especially when it happens to your team and you get crazy.
Oh, and two. I'm like, basically we lose one more game and the playoffs are out of reach. And that's how competitive I think the NFL is. If you go down 3 games, you are, it's going to be really, really tough to make the, you know, the playoffs. It really is. So I'm already looking at we are looking at not making the playoffs. If we lose one more game, we're going to be in a really bad position because the Texans are already up to our season. Is
we're
going
to take care of the Texans for you on Sunday. When I say we, I mean my New York Giants.
Oh, really?
Okay. How about this? Because this is going to be another tangential podcast. When people make fun of me because I say we.
Yeah.
We should be saying we.
We should.
I've loved them since I was 5.
Right.
I mean, for the love of God. I mean, I have a scarf that I wear.
Right.
That I was wearing in 1991 when Scott Norwood hit the ball wide right.
And
so I'm going to
say
we.
We. I think J.J. Watt is going to be a problem. Your O-line
I think my dad could line up and probably get Eli.
I think it's going to be a hard day for the Giants.
The only thing is, all right, wait, we're putting Houston, New York on hold. Okay, I want to go back to that third down play.
Okay. All right.
Here's the thing. A couple thoughts. You're up by 7.
Right.
For people that didn't see the game, what I'm referring to is Colts play the Eagles on Monday night. They're up by 7 points. It was a great game. Running, it really was a good game. You're up by 7 points. You're on like what? You're on 20. You're on 30. Or no, the Eagles, the Colts have the ball. You're on fantastic field position.
Bad play calling.
Yeah. You run the ball the first two plays. So now it's third and like, I don't know, 5, 6, whatever. There's what? 4 minutes left? 3, 4 minutes left. Right. And you decide to throw the ball.
Yes.
It was ridiculous.
I agree.
Because even if you don't get an interception.
Right.
If it's an incomplete pass, you stop the ball.
Right.
And you've got Adam Vinatieri. I always screw up his name.
Vinatieri
on the sidelines.
Right.
World's best kicker.
I know.
It makes absolute no sense.
I don't know what that was. I know everyone is questioning, you know, Pep Hamilton. All of the first half of last season, he was doing running plays. He was like, we're going to be a running team. And it's like, didn't you work with, Andrew Luck at Stanford? Weren't you his offensive coordinator there?
Yeah.
Why in God's name are you trying to make us a running team? And then they were like, okay, we're going to go back to the pass game. I don't know. It was bad. I agree.
Being aggressive. Like, there's nothing worse than
it was a bad call. I agree. It was a stupid,
But it felt like outrageously bad.
Yeah, it
was. You know what I mean? It just felt like
it was an outrageously bad decision that was then followed by an outrageously bad non-call, which was then followed by another penalty.
It's like it was the perfect storm.
Yeah.
A horrible play.
Right.
A non-call.
Yeah.
The dude falls and you get it picked off.
Right.
Like everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong on one play.
But here's, I think the good news is that Luck does not make the same mistake twice. Everything that he's learned, he comes back better. Like, he's going to be, I say this every time, he's going to be a scary, scary monster in the next couple
amazing.
Of years.
He's amazing. He's so fun
he's
to watch.
He's already amazing.
Yeah.
And he went 11-2 in his first two seasons, 11-3, or what is it, 13-3? Now are we 16 games?
Now we're 16
Have I lost
games.
My mind? 13-3 last season? I can't remember. But I'm not worried in the long run, but like for this season, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, you got to get it back on track.
We got to get it back on track.
I just thought that play was obnoxiously bad.
Oh, it was. I know.
And the thing is, like, you can second guess going for it on fourth downs.
Right.
Like, I'm always going to be a proponent of being aggressive, like, I think there's nothing more annoying in sports. And this is across the board. You see it in basketball. You especially see it in football.
Right.
When the team's up by 3 or the team's up by 7 and they get super conservative
or
they're tied.
Right.
They don't want to throw it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, and then it's just like, no, come on. Don't play to tie. Don't play to lose. Like
play to win. Right.
But you're already up by 7.
I know.
You're an amazing field. Like it, to me, I'm just like, I'm not saying it's fireable, but it is definitely like,
oh, everyone,
what is happening?
Everyone was like, what is wrong with him?
Because I think you look at that and you have to say, what's the worst case scenario? And the worst case scenario is you flat out lost the game.
Right. Well, we lost Bruce Arians, who is our amazing offensive coordinator, to the Cardinals.
He's a good coach.
He's doing really well. But like, imagine had we been able to keep him
and
continue. I mean, he took a wrecked team and made them crazy when our coach was out. So, yeah, I agree. I don't know what the hell was going on, but hopefully we'll fix it.
Oh, yeah. No, I think, Leslie Roberts, who fact checks some of these episodes when Carol's down for the count. No, it's fine. Carol. No, she's not here. Carol, you're good.
She's
a crazy Colts fan. And so, I keep my eye on the Colts, and especially since all my favorite Giants are now playing for the Colts. But I that is a hard schedule. You go into Denver, you have Philly, and Philly's like, the Eagles have the NFC East to lose. And two really tough games. And they could have won both games.
They could have.
And the Saints, if you're a Saints fan too, it's like you could have won both games.
Oh,
there's
man.
A couple 0-2 teams, like the Giants. They could have lost worse. Is that a phrase?
They could have lost worse.
They could have lost worse.
Yeah, they could have. You're right. They could have.
But the Colts, I have to say, they're, it's, I think it's a good time to be a Colts fan.
It is.
I mean, yeah. they are fun to watch. Now, Robert Mathis, that's a big loss.
Oh God, I know.
And I have to say, that whole thing with the whatever banned substance, it felt like pretty legitimate that it was a fertility drug. And then because his wife gets pregnant, like, you don't hear a bad thing about that dude.
Right.
I felt really bad for that whole situation.
And then as a result of not, you know, being on the team, he did a dumb workout and ripped his Achilles tendon. I mean, really?
Yeah.
I was like,
I know, you know, and you guys need some pass
rushers. Our defense is not stellar to begin with. He was pretty much our shining star, but whatever, we'll rebound. I mean, I'm a fan no matter what. Even if they have a losing season, I watch the Broncos. I'm rooting for Peyton to win another. I did watch the Giants, but they've sort of lost me. I'm not going to lie.
Now, why would you say that? Now, what aspect about the New York Giants lost you? No, I really want to hear it. I'll suggest a couple of things and see if they've lost you.
Okay.
Our inability to move the football
forward.
Our inability to stop the other team.
Right.
Our porous special teams.
Yes.
Let's see. What else? Our restructuring of the entire offensive line. Now I don't recognize anyone.
All of those things are reasons why you have lost me.
Yeah.
I will always root for Eli, and I have a ton of friends who are Giants fans, and I'm praying that you get back on.
There were some bright spots in the Detroit game. I don't think there was any bright spots in the Detroit game. The Detroit game, I thought, like, you know how you just get so excited for game one, and I'm not saying, you know, the Giants are going to be good anytime soon, but it doesn't matter because, you know, it's like you live and die for your team, whatever it is, whatever your team it is, it doesn't matter. The reason why the New York Giants were so successful and they had those two Super Bowls, asterisk, scroll down, people always say, oh, you're so lucky. Okay, we got that. We got a little lucky. We had the greatest offensive line. We had the same dudes for like 8 years, and it was so great. And they were fun to watch because of all those dudes. And now, so the big thing in the offseason was like, all right, offensive line. If you go back into like news feeds of like June, July, when we were like, you know, kind of doing all these restructuring, and here was the projected, offensive line, we have one. Somehow we, even in the restructuring, we have like Pew from Syracuse, Sneeze gone, McKay, like everyone's gone. Everyone's or deal retired, Sneeze retired. We have dudes that are like third stringers. I call it everybody's uncle from the practice squad.
Right.
It's so bad. It's unbelievable.
And same with the Colts, when the Colts won the Super Bowl last with Manning, we had the most amazing offensive line on the planet. That if you're, you know, if you want to believe, and I do, that football is now an offensive game and offense wins, we've argued about this before. I still think it will at the end of the day. I know Seattle, but by and large, the quarterback was protected and that's why they won. And that's why you have winning seasons. So I think they never put enough money. They're always putting it into, great cornerbacks and wide receivers getting all the money, but it's the offensive line, I think, that's really super important. When you have the major players in place, you can get away with a good wide receiver if your quarterback has a minute.
I want six hogs.
Yeah.
I don't get you can trade any star you want for like six huge Lincoln logs.
Exactly.
That's what I want. I want hogs. I want logs. I want dudes that look like they're made of ham steaks. Yes. I want six ham steaks protecting Eli Manning. Because you know what happens when Eli Manning gets flushed out of the pocket? Nothing good happens.
Nothing ever good
happens. Nothing good happens.
I just pictured ham steaks in jerseys. It's like a Bugs Bunny, you know, where he imagines a drumstick or something. It's very funny.
Yeah, that's what I want on my O-line. I want just big beefcakes of love and protection. We have injury, whatever. It's just,
it's funny it's how we're talking actually about football when there's all this other stuff happening.
Well, I don't want to, I'm so
The implosion.
Saddened by the entire violent implosion.
Yes, as if it wasn't happening before.
Yeah,
they did a better job of keeping it.
Yeah, I was like, this happens. You know, we had Jenny McNulty on the podcast last week, and we talked about, you know, a little bit about it, and then, you know, 1 week later. We've got that dude from the Cardinals. What is his Dwyer? We've got Adrian Peterson. First of all, I had no idea what a switch was.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I've never heard of it. I had to Google what is a switch.
You're not from the South.
I am not from the South.
No. Yeah, a switch is quite painful.
I wrote it down.
A branch.
A flexible tree branch.
Yes, a branch.
I didn't know that was an option.
Oh, sure. Well, it shouldn't be, but it is with old-fashioned folks.
Yeah.
It's how you get the kiddies in line.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, one, and then the second story came out, and he was smiling in his mugshot, which I always find really, really charming when someone gets brought in and they smile for their mugshot. It makes me want to punch them in the face.
Yeah, like Rick Perry.
There's all kinds of... I just, at this point, I've had a problem. Like, I love Doria, and, you know, she wrote the comment, you probably talked about it, that they need, like, a house mother. All these teams need, like, a female... they need a lot more than that. I mean, I think that it's true that, you know, these are young millionaires. They're young men. Young men tend to be assholes anyway.
Yeah.
You make them famous. You give them millions of dollars. Most of them did not come from money. So there's all kinds of adjustment issues that are happening.
Yeah.
And it's a recipe for disaster.
It's a total recipe for disaster. And the structures aren't in place. As a society, we don't do anything about mental illness.
Right.
We don't do anything about, all right. We do some little bit about mental illness, domestic abuse, child abuse, you know what I mean? But we don't have any proper structure and support in our own culture. And then we pay these guys a gazillion dollars. They can do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And we ask them to be incredibly violent.
Right.
And then, oh, yeah, just check it at the door.
Right.
Just when you leave, put your cleats up.
Right.
And then just be a normal citizen.
Right.
It's a complete recipe for disaster.
It is. And now it's starting, all of this is starting to come to the surface. It's obviously been there. And if you look back on all the, you know, Roethlisberger and, I mean, Niners quarterback, he and one of his teammates were...
Oh, Kaepernick?
Yeah, Kaepernick. I think he was
in Miami.
He was cleared, there. You know, there's all kinds of, you know, stuff that happens. And I think the NFL has done what old Hollywood used to do and keep people's secrets buried as long as possible. But in this day and age, you just can't do that.
Yeah.
And now these guys who are being held up as, you know, role models. And again, I don't necessarily think that's fair either, because it's they signed on to play football. They didn't say, I'm here to be every kid's hero and role model, but they are. And they are getting paid an incredible amount of money. And a lot of them, not a lot of them, but some of them are making money off of endorsement deals. Now that's where I go, okay, you know, do you have a responsibility to the public for your behavior? If you are paid by companies to be the face of the company, then yes, you.
I think as a human being, you have a responsibility to be a role model and a good human being.
You do.
And then now they're elevated. So, you know, I know what you're saying, but that when you suit up, you know, the response, like, yeah, maybe you don't want to be everybody's role model, but you know what?
You are. Right.
And you should, as a human being, put on whatever jersey or whatever suit or whatever soft pump and a skirt and go out and leave your door and be the best person you can possibly be.
That's I think you're shooting for a lot. I think that. I agree with you. That's the way it should be. But the reality is what needs to happen is that the owners of these teams have to put in place better standards of conduct and say these are the consequences.
I think it's just standards of conduct.
Yes, standards of thank you. Just standards of
just
conduct.
Just have some basic standards of conduct.
So if you get arrested for this, if this happens, then you will be cut from the team. There's no like, and it's so that the consequences, it's like these guys go out and party, they do all kinds of stuff, and it's, you know, again, young millionaires. I mean, young male, what do you expect?
Yeah.
Like guys who are 20 to 25 are assholes to begin with. Give them money, give them fame. A lot of them may not have had the best childhood to begin with.
They're just, you know, it starts, it should be starting in like peewee.
It should.
And then junior high and high school. And you know, yeah, a lot of it is broken homes, no good role models.
Right.
So the coaching. So I think there needs to be more sort of responsibility and I think just pressure on these coaches.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think, you know, listen, if you're, I'm not saying it's an extremely difficult job coaching on any level, but you're also going to be, there should be, you know, more just basically like mentors on the sidelines, you know, maybe former NFL players that come in and they're hired by these teams as mentors, you know? And yeah, there should be like 10 times more women involved in all these organizations. But you know, Goodell's kind of come on in an hour and say like, you know, it's going to be, I wrote it down, orders abuse awareness training. All right. I don't know. Like, you know, is it it's better than nothing, but it's got to start at like such an earlier age, you know, because they're getting, I had this story and I don't remember and it's like an older NFL player. And he's like, you know what? We got paid like, you know, half of it was, and you were married and you have kids and it was a job. This was a job, you know, and it was just something that you did. You played in the NFL and now it's completely different. You know, now there's no, like a lot of wives and kids. It's just like, oh my God, you know? Yeah. I'm 22. I'm starting corner for this team. I'm getting a gazillion dollars a year. Let's go rip it up.
Exactly.
And oh my God, I can't believe something went horribly wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I can't believe it went horribly wrong and it's going to continue.
But the hypocrisy, like if we just take first of all, Roger Goodell, a couple weeks ago, I made him the feel good moment of the week because he apologized, came out and said, I screwed up. I got the Ray Rice situation wrong. Here's the new implement of the policy. And I was just like, oh my God, you know what? Good for you. No one, not a lot of people do that.
Thank you.
And then, you know, just that went to shit last week.
It sure did.
And now it just keeps going to shit. The exempt commissioner's permission list. Okay.
Yeah. Well, the fact that they're a nonprofit in the first place, that the NFL is a nonprofit organization.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
That's a joke. There's a lot. And it's hard because we are super crazy, nutty football fans.
Yeah.
But there is a problem. And given that we are half their fan base and we spend the ridiculous amounts of money that we do for football, they do need to address this.
Yeah. And Goodell, it's getting every week. It's like worse every week. This exempt commissioner's permission list, now that who else is on it, right? Is Hardy on it? Hardy's on it. AP's on it. The people that aren't on it are the lesser valued players in the league who just happen to beat up their wives.
They don't sell jerseys the way that Adrian Peterson does.
Volunteer leave with pay. So you're not on the active roster. But you're not deactivated.
But we'll give you $350,000 a week.
Listen, if you clear up your stuff,
you
can totally come back. Yeah, it just came out this morning that the Vikings are not doing a jersey swap. The jersey swaps, I think.
I know.
I mean, it's not funny, but it's hysterical.
I know.
Like ridiculous. Also, how about all these women wearing Ray Rice jerseys to the Baltimore game last week? Just gross.
Well, you know, like, yes. Well, and his wife and blah, blah. Like, yeah, I could go on for hours about this.
Okay, let's talk about this. Innocent till proven guilty.
Right.
It's a hard one to kind of get your head around because, like, for instance, you take the 49ers dude 2 weeks ago, right? Gets arrested 4 a.m. There's visible marks on his girlfriend. He gets arrested, plays. Mm-hmm. Now he's not playing. Hardy, you know, charged, found guilty, playing. Now he's not playing. Only because of public outcry.
Right.
Only because of public outcry. Now he was like, I'm innocent.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, legally, you're supposedly innocent.
Right.
So I can see how like the language of these teams are like, well, you don't know, like he hasn't been, you know, proven guilty.
Right.
So they can like sort of hide behind that language.
I think that if the cops have enough to charge you.
Yeah.
Not necessarily if they have enough evidence to charge you, that should be enough to be suspended.
Yeah.
For until we figured out whether or not you're guilty.
Completely.
If the law has decided that we have enough evidence to charge you with a crime.
Yeah.
The NFL should say, okay, then we're going to suspend you until we figure this out. You may be able to come back. If you're innocent, then fine. We'll reinstate you.
Yeah.
But, for now,
The argument, law, should we be able to play? Should these guys be able to play while they're sorting, quote, I read the sentence, while they're sorting it out, right, while they're sorting out their personal life.
Right.
Should they be able to play?
No. If you're charged, you're suspended. And if you are cleared, you can come back.
Yeah.
But
it should be that basic.
It should be, you know,
I just love the sorting out the personal life. Oh, when you're, I don't know, quote unquote, using a flexible tree branch on your child.
Right.
Or just, you know, giving your wife a little 1-2. Really? It's just, it's
sorting your personal life. Yeah.
Also now it's starting, like you see this on college level too. I wrote down Jameis Winston. No, it's not Jameson. It's Jameis. Jameis, whatever how you pronounce it, Heisman Trophy winner for Florida. This is his sixth time he's been in trouble. He has to sit out the first half of the Florida State game.
What did he do?
His last one is he jumped on some sort of table or some sort of something in on campus and was screaming out like obscenities. Like some random, like he took crab legs out of this store in the off season. He might have raped a lady last season. He got exonerated from that. It's just like how many, like, oh my God.
But they make so much
money. It's the money. Money. So listen, you can only hope, you know, and it is hard. We're saying like as a woman, as a female, like, you know, I live and die for the NFL. And it's so hurt. Like every week you're like, oh God, here we go.
Yeah. And half your fan base.
Because if you just take the game, it's such a beautiful sport.
Mm-hmm.
It's so intricate. It's so interesting. There's so many facets. It's such a definition of a true team game. I love everything about it.
Yep.
And we need to put more, we need to take care of these players more, quite frankly. I'm not condoning any of their behavior, obviously, but we're setting them up to fail.
We are. And you know that most of them.
And mental illness and these blows to the head.
80% of them are bankrupt within 4 years of retiring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because no one has taught them about financial planning because they did not grow up with money. Yeah. The majority of them.
Or even if they did, there should be so much more mentoring.
Right. Yeah.
So much. Well, it almost feels like you have all these retired NFL players, right? NFL makes $1 billion a year. Hire these guys back into the system.
Of course.
It's almost like every single player, you have a 53-man roster, right? Take 20 dudes per team. They each are responsible for two of these players.
Right.
And if you have to follow them around.
They're like,
they're 20, they're 21.
Exactly. They're like a sponsor.
Yeah.
They're like your NFL sponsor.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking about doing something dumb, you give him a call and, you know, 55, 60 year old man says, all right, you need to rethink this, son.
Like, that's a perfect opportunity to get all these older generations of football players that have been there and done it and didn't make that much money.
Right.
Hire them back.
Right.
For like a 1-on-2 or a 1-on-1 mentorship.
I love this. Why don't we go to the NFL and pitch this?
It's ridiculous. I'll be your mentor. Get home. You need to block that dude. So my little running back that no one even knows, Jennings, who I think played before, can get through the defensive line. All right, let's take, we're doing picks.
Picks.
We're doing picks because it's going to be my new thing every week because it's just kind of fun to talk about. You know what I also love? When you roll out, you know, every week's, you know, who's playing who, the parody is unbelievable.
I know.
It's so fun. You can make an argument. Listen, you can make a better argument for some of these teams over these other teams. But I think I could hear the other end of every single pick of mine and be almost persuaded.
That's what's great about where our league is pretty well balanced from year to year. I mean, there's a couple teams that can never seem to climb back, but by and large, our draft system and salary cap seem to really keep teams on a pretty, unlike like the Yankees and you know how baseball works.
I mean, we're 5 games out of the wild card. Okay. Falcons killed Tampa Bay last night. Oh my God. 56-14.
Yeah, it was college football score.
It was a college. Josh
Devin
McCown.
Hester. Devin Hester beating that, what is it, Sanders 20 returns. He smoked us in the first run of the Super Bowl against the Colts when he was playing for the Bears. He ran it back in the first like 10 seconds.
I know.
He's amazing.
He's amazing. And you know what's been really fun? Just because I have a football problem, I watch Falcons play. It's fun to see him be a wide receiver.
Yeah.
After all these years of trying to make, somehow now he can catch the ball.
Right.
Love it.
Yeah.
I'm not a Falcons fan, but good for him. That's awesome. San Diego. Okay. A couple, we'll just do like, we don't have to go through all of them, although I would. A couple ones I starred, San Diego at Buffalo. Now, you know, even a year ago or 2 years ago, you'd be like, who cares? San Diego at Buffalo. Snooze fest. That's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
Buffalo's 2-0.
And I'm rooting for Buffalo because they've just been on the wrong end of everything for many years.
Everything.
So I'm rooting for them. And I hate San Diego. I always have.
Here's the thing about San Diego. I'm not a Chargers fan by any means. They're intriguing. I'm not a fan. I'm not a Phillip Rivers fan, but after seeing them beat Seattle, I was like, this team could get some serious damage.
They can, but they're not consistent.
They're not. They will. I also think they have the huge ability to choke when it's at its highest.
They do.
Okay. So San Diego, Buffalo, who are you picking?
I'm going to pick Buffalo.
You're picking Buffalo. Buffalo to go 3-0.
Yeah.
I'm picking San Diego.
Okay.
I think this is the week where Buffalo... Dallas at St. Louis.
Dallas at St. Louis. The only reason I'll care about that is if someone gets hurt and Sam gets to play.
Oh, yeah. And then jumps...
I would tune right in if somebody tweeted, you know...
Sam's taking over.
Yeah, but I know he's not even on the, you know, he's just still on the practice squad. I don't care about Dallas otherwise.
I don't. And I just had this random, I went to like this dinner party with like a bunch of lesbos last night. And I met this fun Dallas fan, and which is takes a lot. She had a fantastic personality for me to say fun Dallas fan. but we were saying like, I was like, I would singly watch the Cowboys every week.
Yeah.
Just to see what Sam would do.
I would too. I would too.
All right. Well, listen, I don't wish anybody to get injured, but I hope a couple defensive ends go down for the Cowboys. I'm picking Dallas on that one.
Okay.
Washington at Philly. I, you know, just because I follow the NFC East a little bit closer, I think I don't give a shit about either team. But I have to say, and when I say, by the way, Sports Without Balls fans, if your team, when I say like, I don't give a shit, I just mean you don't give a shit about my Giants, like if you're not a Giants fan.
Right. Yeah.
But as a football fan, I could watch every single one of these games and be entertained.
Yeah, me too.
So don't panic and don't call in.
Yeah.
You can't call in. Washington at Philly. I think that's going to be an interesting game because I think you'll get a real good sense of what are the Redskins about.
Right. You're using that word.
What?
Washington.
Washington.
See, I don't. I want them to change their name. I do. I do. I just think.
Redskins, oh, the Redskins.
I don't like it. I know this is not this topic, but I don't like it, and I think we should change it.
You know, we can talk about it. I think just for just growing up, like kind of, they were always like my number two team because I loved Theismann and Riggins and the Hogs, and it's weird to say like they were my number two team because it's such an arch rival of the Giants. But the arch rival to me of the Giants are the Eagles, Cowboys. Like I always had a soft spot for the Redskins.
Right.
I loved Joe Theismann.
Right.
So I still have a soft spot for the Redskins. Like, and it's a nostalgic thing.
It's a nostalgic thing, but it's also just patently racist. It is. You would never call a team the Blackskins, the Brownskins, the Yellowskins. It's just, I don't know. I think we just need to...
No, I would be totally moving forward. I would totally be in agreement to change the name.
And I'm not super sensitive about that stuff. Like I am so not PC at all, but I just think it's Redskins. I mean, it's
It's bad.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's bad.
So I don't, I think
that
I don't
being
know.
Said, I like the, I'm kidding.
I like the Redskins.
That being said, I like to say Redskins. Just for nostalgia.
Houston. Sorry.
Houston at New York Giants. I'm going with the New York Giants to rebound.
Okay.
If I was betting, I'd probably bet on the Texans.
Yes.
Here's the thing. The Texans offense is, it's really going to be if the Giants could get any, if we can get any mojo on defense.
Right.
I do think the Giants defense will hold up rather well with the Texans offense.
Yeah, their offense isn't great, but I think they're going to eat him alive. But
I don't know.
Okay, well, we'll see. I'm rooting for the Giants to win.
You know, listen, if it was Clowney and Watts, I'd be like, forget it.
I know. He's but, still you know, out with, for what, with another Clowney game out for, or two?
No, like another six games.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he's
yeah, because they're in our division and they're 2-0 and I need them to lose. Yeah, so, well, listen. Of course, I'm rooting for the Giants.
Go Giants.
Yay.
Vikings at Saints. Saints will rebound. I think Saints will rebound.
Yeah, I do too.
Vikings. Tennessee at Cincinnati.
Oh, God.
2-0 with the Bengals.
Yeah, the Bengals are going to win that.
Bengals are going to win.
Yeah, Tennessee sucks.
Tennessee, like, they had that first game. I mean, they looked so good against Kansas City.
I love
City,
Jake Locker. I love him, but he's just not.
I hope he does well. He's not I like him yet. A lot.
He'll grow up. He needs a few years.
Baltimore at Cleveland. Did I tell you that Cleveland is my new, I've got a huge soft spot for Cleveland now.
Why? Is it because of Johnny?
Oh, no, I don't like Johnny Manziel at all. I love Brian Hoyer.
Oh, okay.
No, I performed in Cleveland, had some great shows, and I was there for the gay games and kind of fell in love with the city of Cleveland. I went to see an Indians game. Uh-huh. I love a good city where you can walk and see all... every single stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I had it like such a good time in Cleveland. And I bought a Cleveland shirt. I don't know. Now
I love
the Browns.
They're right next door. I've visited many, many times.
I've got a little.
I would love for them to win, just because they've also had a hard time the last.
They came out and they beat the Saints at the last couple of towards the end of the game. Baltimore at Cleveland. That's gonna be That'll be a good game.
That could be fun.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna have to say, if I was betting, I'd bet the Ravens, but I'm gonna do a little hometown Cleveland.
I'm rooting for Cleveland on that too.
Okay, here's four games. I did a little I just said asterisk.
Ass.
I call it asterisk, but I know it's asterisk. Green Bay at Detroit. That's gonna be a good game.
Yeah, that's gonna be a good game.
I'm going with Green Bay. I'm going with
I am too. Detroit
again is so hit or miss.
Yeah.
Like they look really good against the Giants. That's actually not saying anything. They looked awful last week. Green Bay, I'm never gonna bet against Green Bay. No. I always just think they're gonna
Aaron
come
Rodgers
in and
is amazing.
He's just so great. Colts at Jacksonville.
If they don't win this, just forget the whole thing.
Forget it. Colts are totally gonna win. Some NFL website had a really good line. It was like, basically, this game should be the Colts versus the Jacksonville traffic on the way to the stadium. I was like, that is awesome.
Yes.
Oakland at New England.
Oh, come on.
New England. Here's another game. I starred, let's use the word starred, San Francisco at Arizona. That's going to be a good game.
That's going to be a good game.
I'm pulling for the Cards.
Me too.
I've decided I actually cannot stand the 49ers.
I don't like them either. Sorry.
I was a Kaepernick fan until his ego now is unchecked. Harbaugh being like, oh, I'm so anti-domestic violence, yet that pig played. I'm so done.
And his little, little rape issue also. I just, as soon as someone has rape allegations, I kind of don't like them anymore.
Yeah.
Sorry. Happened with Roethlisberger too. I will never like the Steelers.
Well, that was egregious.
Yeah.
Kaepernick, it felt like it might have been wrong place, wrong time.
Perhaps. But you should stop your buddy from doing something.
Yeah.
If that,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So San Francisco, Arizona, I think it's going to be, listen, the Giants could have, should have beat the Cardinals last week. Mm-hmm. We had a horrible, horrible moment on special teams, a little breakdown. But the Cardinals, I thought, have a lot of potential.
Yeah,
and
they do.
And San Francisco, that, they're always good. It should be interesting. Game of the week, of course. Yes. Going to be Broncos at Seattle.
Yes.
I cannot wait for the game.
Me too. Super Bowl too.
What do you think? Give us your little input.
I don't know. I think, again, Peyton is, he was humiliated, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, he was.
Yeah.
And I think that if he has the kind of game he can't, if if he can play the way Peyton Manning can play, they will win.
Yeah.
I know Seattle's defense is, you know, whatever, but he's Peyton Manning.
Seattle's beatable. I mean, they lost last week to the Chargers. Yeah. Here's the only thing. I don't see Seattle losing twice in a row.
Yeah.
It is home.
It's going to be tough.
Here's the thing. I think Seattle will win. However, because Denver looked good, but they also look shaky. I mean, the Colts could have come back.
Yeah.
And also, who did Denver play last week?
And that was also shaky.
Whoever, but
we'll
I forget
see
who they
if Peyton rebounds.
But I'm cheering. Obviously, I'm cheering for Denver. I like Seattle. I actually really like Seattle. And I love the whole 12th man lore. I love how the fans get so into it. I love how they like, even Sounders game, they like walk through the streets to the stadium. So I am a Seattle fan. I'm just, you know, it's hard to cheer against Manning.
I'm the same way.
I think that will be the game of the week. And I do think that that game could seriously go either way. That is what I was going to say. I think that game will be 10 times better than the Super Bowl.
I agree.
Kansas City at Miami.
Who cares?
I'm sorry. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
Chiefs should win, but Miami looks better than they did in a while. They look great week one. Then they look like a bag of sack of crap this week two. Sunday night game, the big Sunday night game, Pittsburgh at Carolina.
I know, I don't care, but really? I'm rooting for Carolina because they hate Pittsburgh.
Big Monday night matchup, Bears at Jets.
Yeah, boring.
Sorry, sometimes I get all fired up about Sunday and Monday night, and I'm like, those games, I'm like, meh. Yeah. All right. That wraps up our football.
Jeez.
46 minutes
we
in.
We only talked about that for forever.
Sorry. It's just, you know, like the start of the season, you just can't help yourself.
I know. I could talk about football for
hours. 17 hours. All right. Let me do a little baseball shout out. We'll get into UFC. We'll wrap it up with WNBA feel good moment of the week. I have 10 games left with Derek Jeter.
Okay. You are just going to talk. I'm going to sit back and read my email. No, I'm going to listen. I'm just not
okay. So we'll just do baseball real quick and then we'll do UFC. Cause okay. I want to talk about this women's season for the UFC. Cause I want everybody to start watching it. And it's actually, I think, super interesting. And listen, this last 2 weeks of baseball season is always exciting. Cause you've got this new addition of a second wild card team, which basically means there's one true winner for the wild card, and then one team sneaks in, and then they have to travel to the other wild cards team, and they have one playoff game. It's another way for 50,000 people to spend money. Derek Jeter, I've watched since a couple games in 95, starting in 96. I've watched his whole season. I have 10 games left. He just did a home run last night in Yankee Stadium, his first home run of the year, and I thought, how exciting for those fans. Because now everyone's just like vying for tickets. This is the last homestand. He's got about 6-7 more home games left. And then he ends his career next weekend in Boston, which is weird. But Fenway Park loves Jeter because Fenway Park, Red Sox fans are great sports fans. They're great baseball fans. But I just realized like on my calendar, because I watch as much as humanly possible, that I got 10 left with my boy.
I will maybe.
What do you think I'm going to do, Jill? What do you think is going to happen?
You're going to take solace in football.
There's two dates on my calendar. Next Thursday is the last home game of Derek Jeter. And I have two stand-up shows that night. The game starts at 4:00. I have an 8:00 show and I have a 9:00 show. And I have to say, do I cancel now? Because I'm going to be crying.
Maybe. Maybe you cancel the first show and then you bury
regroup.
Regroup. For the second.
A week from Sunday, the 28th, will be it's supposed to be a day game at Yankees Red Sox. It'll, if baseball has any class, it will go to Sunday night game. And Derek Jeter will say goodbye because we're not going anywhere.
Right.
Because Jay-Z signed Robinson Cano and took Cano to Seattle Mariners, and who's ahead? I say this every week of the Yankees for the wild card, the Seattle Mariners. Thank you, Jay-Z. You suck. You're dead to me. If you cheat on Beyonce, I'll kill you. Here we go. So next Sunday, sports fans, if you're a baseball fan, it should get bumped up to Sunday Night Baseball. And I say, you know what? Watch the Red Sox Yankees.
Okay.
That's it for baseball. Clayton Kershaw should win MVP. I think he's now pitching for his 20th win tonight. The Dodgers, go Kershaw. Okay, UFC. I just had to give a little baseball shout out.
I hear you.
Now, the reason I didn't know that you were a UFC. I think I did. I think we did. We did discuss this. So when I saw that it's on Fox Sports 1. I do. The UFC, Ultimate Fighting, or MMA is the sport. UFC is the league. Let's talk about this. Everyone, I think, should. I'm giving a plug for it because it's the first time that an all female
right.
show. And it's, I think I wrote this down. I think it's Wednesday nights.
Yeah, it's Wednesday nights. And for a little, I might have mentioned this on the last podcast when I was trying to like push MMA.
Yeah.
Is that Dana White, who runs the UFC, who's a man, Dana White, he said 2 years ago that women would never fight in the UFC. He said, we don't believe in it. We're not comfortable with it. It's just, there's no future for women in the UFC. Well, cut to... now, Ronda Rousey is probably making the most money for them.
Yeah.
And now they're adding this new show, The Ultimate Fighter, this season is strawweight, which is like 115.
Yeah.
Ronda is 135. And they're now adding all these women because all these women are starting to emerge in this sport. But all these women on this particular show, it's usually amateurs vying to get... a contract with the UFC. All these women are already signed with the UFC. So they're vying for the championship.
Which
belt?
It's like, it's sort of like The Bachelor, you know? It's yeah. like at the end, you know, it's like, you're going to get married.
Right.
And at the end of this, there'll be a champion.
She's going to be the world champion yeah. of this weight class. So all right, it's so kind of amazing.
All right. So they're all the same. It's all straw weight.
Yeah.
So they're all, all these women.
Right.
I think there's 16. They broke it down right into, there's two from what I read. Okay. Yeah. By the way, for people who are not familiar with this, this is season 20.
Right.
There's been 20 seasons and mm-hmm. I knew of it. I just started getting into this in the last maybe year or two, quite frankly, cause of Ronda Rousey. And now it's an all female season. I believe there's two teams, right? And it's sort of like one play. Is it like one play 16, two play, sort of like March Madness?
Something like that.
I read that.
You know, each fight, they pick a yeah. person from each team. They fight each other until it comes down to, you know, the final
but
two people.
Here's a question for you. There's 16 of the best 115-pound female fighters in the world. The show is inventing a new women's MMA weight class, which you were just talking about. And let's talk about what happened on week one. And this is, we're going to highlight this woman, Randa Marcos, Iraqi refugee turned UFC fighter.
Yeah.
Her story is amazing.
It's amazing.
But she just beat the number 3 seed.
Who was favored to win the whole thing.
So does that mean Torres never fights again?
I'm not sure how they changed the rules. I haven't watched it in a few seasons. She might be able to come back in a later round. But
it seems like if she's out,
I don't think so.
Not good programming.
I think it's one and out. But that's the beauty of MMA
yeah.
is that it's anybody's fight. And like, you know, there's it's not like boxing.
Yeah.
You know, the first of all, the judging is not, you know, there's never very rarely a controversy in judging in MMA. First of all, you go until you tap out or you're knocked out.
Yeah.
So, and there is no like stopping because someone gets knocked down. You knock them down and you keep punching them until they're either passed out or they tap out.
It's good for kids.
It's safer than boxing, actually.
It is safer than boxing.
Because when you get the chance to recover for a minute, then you get hit again, you do more damage.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it's a more pure sport in that way, I think. And because you can use different techniques, there's wrestling, there's jiu-jitsu, there's boxing, there's judo, it's literally like talk about a sport. You have to be good at everything
I think the ultimate athlete.
It's
unbelievable.
They're unbelievable. And now women are doing it. And this woman's story, I mean, you know, she's exactly what you would expect an ultimate fighter to be made of. Like
yeah.
her past, getting out of Iraq, like crossing the border from Turkey. I mean, she's got an amazing story.
Yeah, everyone, I'll post this link, but her name is Randa Marcos. Yeah, it's on ESPNW, which I plug every week because I love that website so much because they really highlight female athletes. and yeah, escapes. They're in Canada. You know, there's no visas. The Turkish, it was crazy. It's just yeah. like, you know, and then, she's training at a local gym, and to me, yeah, it is like that fighting spirit.
Yeah.
Like that edge of just like, you know, I'm not saying, you know, I'm just saying like, if you have like a fairly like normal childhood and you're just like a phenomenal athlete and you're like, you know, you're both 115 pounds, you're in the ring, there's something that Marcos, that I think can like, you know, summon up
yeah.
than someone in a suburb of Jersey.
Well,
can.
Why? Yeah. I mean, and if you look at the background, a lot of these girls, I'm just starting to get to know the girls yeah. in the house, but a lot of their stories are like this.
Yeah.
I mean, there's quite a few of them that come from really rough childhoods and,
yeah.
You know, this is what pulled them out of that. And you're rooting for some, that's the beauty of
this show. The stories
are going to
be so fun.
That's yeah. why this show works because yeah. in fighting, the reason that it's exciting to watch is if you get to know who is fighting each other and what their story is.
Yeah.
That's what's interesting to me. Yes, the fight is interesting. But what's interesting to me is to know who these people are, why they're doing this, and what pushes them to be this type of athlete.
And that's why, that's exactly the definition of why females watch sports differently than men.
Right.
Because dudes, and this is no slight on men, they just want to, they want to see that action. They want right. to see the blood and the knee buckle and but that doesn't even remotely interest me. It interests me. I just think that just for me, the seeing women UFC to me is much more watchable than men.
Mm-hmm.
The men, I think obviously they're phenomenal athletes. I find it interesting. I find all like the, you know, the boxing and the wrestling. It's a little bit much for me.
Mm-hmm.
The women, for some reason, I just think that the women are just a little bit more palpable. It's like almost like a little bit more less violent in a way, you know, in a way.
Some fights,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Because some of them are a little bit, just because it's a little bit, the MMA is a little bit too violent at times for me.
I love
in
it.
In the octagon.
Right.
So I don't know, the women have like a little bit more, I don't know, less blows to the face.
Right, right.
But you know, to see all these women, and I knew that quote that Dana White was just like, you know, no women, and to see any, as a female sports fan, to see any women breaking those barriers.
Right.
And that's why Ronda Rousey, I know she's going to be controversial because she's like the bad, you know, the bad girl.
Right.
She's put it on the map.
She has.
Know? She has put it on the map.
I want to see her get beat just yeah. because I don't like that she, you know, she's a couple of times after fights, she hasn't, you know, shaken hands
yeah.
with her opponent.
With
that
the
she
Misha
just
Tate.
Beat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Misha Tate.
Well, she said it was like her, that camp misspoke about her
right.
camp. And
but that's what you do before yeah. a fight. And after you've punched each other in the face, you let it go and you shake hands.
Yeah. No, it was not a classy move.
It was not a classy move. And I still think she's not fighting the number one contender, who is Chris Cyborg.
Oh yeah. Talk about that.
Cyborg is a freaking monster. She's
yeah.
a monster. And Rousey wants to fight Gina Carano, who has retired and who is nowhere near being able to fight her, who Cyborg destroyed years ago. And they're trying to put together a fight with Carano and Rousey just because they're two beautiful women.
Yeah.
And Cyborg should be next in line, but they're saying she's too heavy. She's trying to lose weight to come down to Rousey. But Rousey used to fight at 155. And Cyborg is just
Rousey
saying,
used to fight at 155?
155. And she's asking, Cyborg is saying, can we meet at 145?
Yeah.
Because she walks around at like 165. So she's saying, I'll go down to 145 if you'll come up to 145. And Rousey's like, no, I won't for you, but I will for Carano. I'll fight at 145 with Carano, but not with Cyborg. So I'm like, you're afraid.
Yeah.
And the UFC is afraid. They don't want Rousey to lose her because she's beautiful.
Yeah.
She's in movies. I mean, she is a marketing dream.
Yeah.
Whereas Cyborg is not. And it's so that pisses me
slightly
off.
Slightly unfortunate,
like,
name too. Yep.
Well, it's her husband's name, who's also an MMA fighter. So it's, to me, I love that women are in it, but I still feel like they're fixing it to keep Rousey protected because she is their moneymaker right now because she's sexy and because she's marketable. And then that's the part of it that I'm like, you know.
Let's get Cyborg in the ring.
Yes.
I just like saying that sentence.
I know. Cyborg in the ring.
Cyborg, get in the ring. And, you know, I've never even seen Cyborg fight. This is a whole other, I need another sport, but this is like, I'm so going to watch the show. I'm psyched.
I am too. The next woman who's going to fight Rousey is probably Kat Zingano, who she was supposed to fight, but who got injured.
I think
now she's coming back. I still don't know that she's good enough to beat Rousey. I'm not convinced.
Well, Misha Tate was the only one that gave her a run for her money.
Yeah. And Misha was close.
To get out of the first round is impressive with Rousey.
Yeah, she came very close a couple of times.
She did like mid-second round.
Yeah.
I remember watching that.
It was a decent fight.
Like, listen, I've said this before. I'll just say it one more time. I think if you're Misha Tate, your nickname shouldn't be Cupcake and you shouldn't come out in a pink robe.
I agree.
I think that, and Katy Perry was playing. That was the third one. Katy Perry. Listen.
Be a badass.
Nothing wrong with Katy Perry.
If you're an MMA fighter, be a badass.
Rousey comes out with Joan Jett. She comes out with Katy Perry. Nicknames Cupcake, and she's got cupcakes on a pink robe.
I know. I agree.
I'm surprised she lasted the second round.
I know.
Come out with a sword and a cape. Come out like a ham steak. Come out on the shoulders of an offensive lineman's ham steak.
I like that. Have we taken up this entire hour now?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We'll wrap it up.
Steak.
But huge shout out and congratulations to Random Marcos. And, you know, listen, Tisha Torres, I'm going to get on all these women. I mean, get on. That sounded weird.
Jeez, Aaron.
I'm going to investigate their stories and be big fans. How about that?
Yes.
I will get on you.
You'll get on them.
Tisha Torres, I will get on you. Cyborg, I will get on you. Oh, I'm going to follow all these women on Twitter and become really good fans. All right, we're going to do a quick WNBA shout out and leave with a feel good moment of the week, which is a little tongue in cheek. Here's two really good things for female basketball fans, and I am crazy diehard. Congratulations, Phoenix Mercury. Last week when we did the episode, they had won two games against Chicago. Mm-hmm. They swept. Game three was close only because Griner had an eye injury. And so
she was busy being engaged.
She was busy being engaged, but she did get clocked in the eye, and it was scary. But she seems to be absolutely on the mend. But she had to have a retinal operation.
Oh, my God.
But she seems to be fine. Thank God. Three-game sweep of the Chicago Sky. I know Tarazi is you know, listen, she's not like, she's an insanely lovable, but I love her
so much. She's an amazing player.
She hits the game-winning shot, just like this crazy shot. It's tied. She goes down the side of the court, gets fouled in this like circus shot. Then I think she screamed out, fuck yeah, or something like that, whatever. I was like, yeah, do it. I was screaming. I'm not going to lie. Okay, so just a couple stats. They're talking about this team as like, you know, Mount Rushmore of WNBA, along with that Sparks team in like, I don't know what year was that, 2001 or something. All those Houston Comets teams, 29-5 in the regular season, 7-1 in the postseason, 18-point margin of victory. They were amazing.
They were the one game that I went to see the Sparks this season. Yeah. It was boring. I mean,
It was a blowout.
It was a ridiculous blowout, but it was fun to watch Tarazi and Griner play. They were,
and the whole team, like
the whole
Penny Taylor, like, there
was
a starting five of just like a well balanced machine. Brand new coach, who won Coach of the Year. It was awesome. And just this caveat: NBA postseason drew its biggest television audience in 7 years with a double digit increase in ratings over last season.
Bam,
which is super, super exciting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, listen, we devalue women's sports in this country, and the WNBA, I'm constantly having arguments like, watch these women play. Like, it's phenomenal basketball.
They're good.
So I'm very proud of them. They're so fun to watch. And support your local teams.
Yes. I only went once this year. I'm bad.
That's okay. Yeah. Listen, one is better than none.
It's true.
We have reached the feel-good moment of the week. After 260 years... The Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St. Andrews, where the British Open is held, has let women in.
They've let the women in, finally.
Finally, the women are in. Oh my God, you've got a really good Scottish accent.
Thanks.
Please end this segment with your Scottish accent. This is the Feel Good Moment of the Week because you guys, it's 2014 and women are really just coming. We can still vote. We can now play golf in Scotland.
We can play golf in Scotland. Yeah, it's great.
Oh my God, I love your accent
so much.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. And it was unanimous, I guess. Or
it
was mostly unanimous.
85%.
85%. No, it was not unanimous.
Well, you know, there's still some old Scots, 80-year-old Scots. They don't want to be independent, apparently. Boo. They don't want to be independent, and they want all men to play golf. Is voted overwhelmingly. 85% of those who took part in the ballot voted in favor of allowing female members. The club has a worldwide membership of 2,500 people. Quote-unquote, the secretary of the RNA said, the membership has also acted to fast-track a significant initial number of women to become members in the coming months. Oh, fast-track. You mean answering our phone calls? Hey, can we? I got a putter and a vagina. Will this work?
Yes, you just have to give us $15,000 and you can join.
Yeah.
Or so, 20 or whatever. That's amazing.
Scotland's still under United Kingdom rule. Boo. Yeah. But hey, ladies, grab a putter and your vagina and come on down to the St. Andrews Royal and Ancient
Golf
Club.
Don't forget your vagina because it happens sometimes. You
do
just
not.
Leave it at home.
Phone keys, wallet, vagina.
Yes, vagina.
So congratulations, women all over the world. We can put away at the St. Andrews Golf Club. That is our feel good moment of the week.
That's fantastic. Okay.
Jill Bennett is very humble, but she acts, she sings, she dances. She's got 8,000 projects. What's your Twitter?
Daily Jill.
Daily Jill. Find her. She's got all kinds of shows on Logo, Here TV, NBC,
on
CBS,
the internet.
VH1,
all over
internet.
HBO. I'm everywhere.
Find her. Love her. She's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're one of my favorites.
Thank you.
Sports Without Balls fans, have the best week of your life.